Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. And today I have a very special guest, somebody who's very, very special person to me. It's Eric Swanson, Mr. Awesome. Thank you, Eric, for being with me today.
Thank you. I appreciate being here. How are you? Woohoo!
Yes, absolutely. Well, I've known Eric, probably 10 plus years. And I love we'll talk the story about when we first met. But Eric has... He's bringing such opportunity to people and enthusiasm. You know, he started Universal Seminars and now has morphed that and created Habitude Warrior. And I think it's just really fun to see how he has evolved in his own life, as well as the offerings that he's giving to other people. But I want to go back to how Eric got started. So Eric, talk a little bit about the Eric Swanson before the one we know today.
The pre-Eric Swanson, you mean? That's funny. Well, let's see. How far back do you want to go? Let's see. The doctor came out and said, Mr. Swanson, Mrs. Swanson, you are the proud owner of a 7.5-pound closing entity. He's going to close everyone. He's a great salesperson. Here you go. So apparently, salespeople are born. So how far back do you want to go? I was from, I'm originally from D.C., the pre-Eric Swanson. You know, back in the day, I used to wait tables. I'm not sure if your audience knows that. So I was very much into serving, you know, serving everyone, really, serving your clients. But I was in the serving industry, in the hospitality industry, and I loved it. It was amazing. It was really a treat for me because it gave me a chance to meet a lot of people. And as you could probably tell by the last 34 seconds you've known me so far in this podcast, everyone, you know that I'm pretty gregarious in the first place. So it was kind of fun waiting tables and just getting to know people. So that was my pre Eric Swanson. So
how did you get from that to you ended up working with Brian Tracy, right?
Correct. Yes. And I actually met somebody through the restaurant industry. I was waiting tables in a place called Mezzaluna in Austin, Texas. And what I did was I met somebody that actually worked for Brian Tracy, and they brought me on, and they introduced me to Brian, and I was like, oh, this is great. And it changed my life right there. Yeah.
It was one of those defining moments. So talk about the influence that Brian had on your life. I think that's pretty special.
Oh my gosh. Brian had a great influence on me because, you know, one of the first things that Brian taught me to do was to diversify myself. So Brian said, look, I've got a lot of great information. You're going to learn a lot and study it and learn it. But don't just be Brian Tracy. Don't emulate just him. You know, utilize what works and put it in my own personality. So that's what I did. And then the other thing was he had mentioned to me was to diversify myself, to learn from other people. And that's, as you know, Sharon, that's what I did, where I've connected with all these different types of people, from Jim Rohn back in the day to everyone, Jack Canfield to Sharon Lecter to everybody that I can really harness information from. So I started doing that. One of my puppies is in my room. Sorry about that. He just made some noise. I don't know if you can hear it. By the way, you know those defining moments? Well, they were both in the room over there and the door was closed. Somehow they both know how to open the door and they're now around me. So if one just like comes up here, that's what's happening.
No problem. So, you know, and you were with Brian for quite a while, and then talk about the step that you took from setting up your Universal Seminars when you decided to go out on your own. What was that internal push that gave you that initiative?
Yeah, definitely. So what happened was I was working with Brian for a while, for about 7 or 8 years, something like that, 8 years, I think. And working with him and what they call repping him, you know, so I was representing him in different cities and doing ticket sales and just sales training and so forth. And then I realized, you know, maybe it's time to branch off and become my own entity. So I started Universal Seminars. And what I did, which was interesting, is I wanted to meet other individuals, other speakers out there. So I actually sought after all these other speakers and started putting them on my stage because they weren't putting me on their stage. So I literally had to play big. Oh, play big. That's what I had to do. So I had to play big where I decided, okay, you know, like the create it and they will come kind of thing, or you know, the field of dreams kind of thing. So I built the field where the field was a seminar entity, because as you know, we all love us speakers, good grammar. We all love getting on great stages and so forth. So I decided, okay, I'm going to design a great stage for people to have a platform to speak on. And I did that with Universal Seminars. Now, the funny part was, for a few years, I don't know if you know this, but for a few years, I never put myself on the stage. So finally, someone's like, you should be on there. People are following you. I'm like, you're right. So I started doing that. And that's what kind of morphed into the Habitude Warrior Conference as well.
So talk about that. How did you create Habitude Warrior? Where did that come from?
Oh, do you actually know that? I don't know if I told you the story yet. Do you know it yet? No? Okay, so check this out. I was speaking with a really cool individual. His name's Jim, and he was a really great guy. He passed away around 9 years ago. You may know who he is right now, but anyway, don't say it yet. So Jim and I are hanging out in Houston, Texas. And he comes up to me after we were both speaking on the stage, and I had Brian Tracy there as well. And Jim says, what are you doing? And I said, what do you mean, what am I doing? He goes, well, what do you do? You work with Brian, what do you do? And I said, I do sales training, I do this and that. He goes, yeah, but what do you really want to do? I said, okay. And when Jim Rohn asks you, what do you really want to do? You kind of ponder, you start thinking, okay, maybe he sees something that I don't see. So that's what happened, and I decided, I had the conversation with him, and I said, look, you know, what I really want to do is I want to help. First, I want to take the squeaky toy out of my dog's mouth in a second. I'm sorry. I don't know if I should hit a timeout button and be right back or what. I'm going to let him be. We'll figure it out in a second. So what happened was Jim and I were talking about that, and I told him, I said, look, you know, I love sales. I love getting out there and prospecting and doing all these things. And I can really share with people how to close more efficiently and so forth. But that's not my passion. My passion is to help people with their habits and their attitudes. And I told him that, and he said, oh, habits and attitude, like put together. And I said, yeah. So I came up with the term habitude right there. So, and he said, you should run with that. I'm like, I'm going to. So that's where the genesis.
I didn't realize that was from your conversation with Jim Rohn.
Yeah. I was back in years ago.
What a gift, yeah. A little bit of his legacy to you, right? That's great.
Absolutely, yeah. Amazing soul.
So Eric, you did already mention that you're very gregarious and you're always up, you're always upbeat, you're always high energy. And literally from having spent all that time with Brian and stepping out into your own world where you truly are totally responsible for your own success, there had to have been times during that, and people watching and listening are probably asking, you know, how, you know, it sounds like it was an easy path. Talk about those downs and ups and how you maintained your attitude as Mr. Awesome when something was really in the tank for you.
Yeah, that's a great, great question. Thank you for asking. So what I do is this, I always feel that there's always, you know, there's, you need to, like, the show must go on, right? So you always want to show up. And the way I figure is this, I always want to serve. And that's what you and I have in so much in common. It's all about serving. And as you know, with my father passing, you know, I've got these initials that I use. It's NDSO, which just stands for no drama, serve others. So if you live by that, that mantra, that you're going to be more successful. So what I do is I realize that everyone's going to have challenges. We all have challenges. And if you don't have challenges, then something's wrong, in my opinion. I believe that you're not growing if you don't have challenges that are stepping stones to move to the next level. So how do I deal with them is a great question. So what I do is this. I always look at, I mean, I'm going to make it real simple for you. I mean, for everyone to listen, it is simple. It's just making that conscious decision and making your subconscious mind and your conscious mind in congruency with your decision. And my decision is, I'm going to look at the bright side on a consistent level. And I know that there's going to be challenges, but I always ask myself, who better to deal with this challenge than me? So I say to myself, okay, if I'm great at being able to deal with this challenge with the love of God or whoever is your awesomeness inside of you, then step up and actually step up to handle that challenge and bite size it. Like Brian Tracy used to tell us years ago, you know, eat that frog. So take little bites here and there, and those stepping stones will get you to the ultimate goal. Now, I also use, and I think it's called a sigmoid curve. What I use is this, or I use a portion of the sigmoid curve. What that means to me is I'm always looking at, there's going to be awesomeness, and then there's going to be a challenge. And then there's going to be an awesomeness, and then another challenge. And then another awesomeness and challenge. I always try to keep the awesomeness or the things that are going in, like Mikhail Csikszentmihalyi says, in flow. Right? You always want to keep things in flow in the positive. And that's what I do, is I always look at it and say to myself within each day, each week, each month, each year, and I say, okay, did I do what I set out to do? Did I grow in this capacity, you know, 70%, and I only had 30% challenges? Great, that's a good ratio. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that's what I do.
Absolutely. So what's not in your bio? What have we not talked about that really kind of defines who you are?
I'm a great dancer. I'm single. What else do you need? I mean, let's just talk.
Okay, ladies.
I'm just kidding, sort of. Okay, so let's see. What's not my bio? Wow, I've got a pretty long bio, actually. No, I'm just kidding. Let's see. I love people. I love animals. I love dogs, as you could tell earlier. I love helping people. I'm not sure if that's actually in my bio. We should put that in bio, shouldn't we? Love to help people. Award.
That'd be kind of cool. I also think you all, you know, we talk about spotting opportunities, and along the way, you know, you've changed the essence of how you do the seminars, but you also saw an opportunity and you kind of stepped into the whole publishing world, didn't you? I mean, you've got quite a few books out now. Talk about a little bit about
that. I do.
That.
So I have a bunch of books that I've written. You know how they say that you can get a ghost writer? Well, I thought I had a lot of ghost readers, but apparently I actually have some readers out there, which is great. So I'm actually a 5-time number one best-selling author through the books that I've written. Every one of my books are the same. I don't go through a lot of stories. I'm not, you know, yes, I do like storytelling. I think it's very powerful for speeches. But in my books, what I do is I literally tell you what I did to build my whatever the topic is, my social media in this case. This is social media marketing and branding. And I literally give you 150 pages of my techniques of how to build my branding in social media. That's it. And then the time management, same thing. I share with you about 50 different techniques that I do to manage my time and to grow. So I just think that that's really important when you become an author, to give your best out there so that people can learn and, hey, this has worked for me, maybe it'll work for you as well, you know?
Well, I think that's fantastic. And I think, you know, the side of you I want you to talk about is the side that I see. When Eric is putting together, we were just talking in October, he's got an event in Washington, D.C. So he's actually moved there. You're there right now in preparation and preparing for this event. And so between now and then, you'll probably do, what, 50 smaller talks in various places to build interest and excitement for that event.
Exactly.
You know, he's tireless, 24/7, he's constantly working and reaching out and networking with people. So talk a little bit, because you're a perfect example of the power of association. So talk about, obviously, with Brian and Jim Rohn, you've had tremendous powers of association that helped groom you. But you're carrying that torch for others as well, because you're providing opportunities for young speakers. So talk about the power of association, the role it plays in your life.
Yeah, great. Thank you. So the association, it plays a huge amount of importance in my life, because if I wasn't, I figure this, if you want, there's an old saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go with a team, you know, and my team actually is you. You know, my team is actually a combination of all these different great speakers that I surround myself with, and I put that platform together, and they put their platforms for me to join on their stages as well. So it's kind of like a give or take, you know, or I'll give and you give back, reciprocate. So the power of association is huge. I actually have something called the elephant list, which I'm not sure if I shared this with you, but what I do is I write down on a piece of paper, like I'll grab a blank piece of paper, and I'll write down 5 names of individuals that I want to surround myself with over the next 3 to 6 months. And I put it in the universe. And it's pretty cool because all of a sudden, like, it's so ironic that person just shows up where you're at the airport and you see that person. It's like so ironic that you got introduced to that person, but you put it in the universe here, which is kind of neat. And then what I do on the flip side of that page is I put 5 names of people I should stop surrounding myself with as much. Like, limit your time, you know, and it's kind of like a time management thing where, you know, how many people do you know that you just want your time and your effort and so forth, and they really don't want to pay anything for it, really. They want everything for free. So what I do is I limit my time with certain people because they, you know, we meet a lot of people that sometimes they're negative. They just want to bring you down, and don't allow their baggage to bring you down. So I limit my time that way. And people ask me, like, well, what do you say to them? And I say, well, I always tell them I have an appointment, and I usually do. But what if you don't have an appointment? I still have an appointment. Guess who my appointment's with?
Me.
Yourself, exactly. So power association is huge. And the way I figure is this, you know, for your listeners, whatever industry you're in, I think that you should, what I call lateral referrals or industry referrals. And what I mean by that is connecting with lateral type of industries, not just yours, but ones that are going to open up more doors. Because what we do is we tend to have tunnel vision, or what I call we focus on locally rather than globally. When I started looking at global, my local business boomed, which is cool. So if you want to be busier in your particular, whatever city you're in, you want to be busy there, then start opening up different global, appearances or exposure. That's the word I'm looking for. So get a global exposure, and then your local business will be like, oh my gosh, this person's huge. We need to get them in, right? So that's it's really cool. But associate with the right people. Now, there's another thing on that. I know this is a run-on sentence, but I'm going with it. Check this out. Associate with the right people, because a lot of us are asking advice from people who really don't know what they're doing or what they're talking about. And you're asking your friends. Like for instance, like if I want to be a best-selling author, I go to you. I don't go to my friend who's never written a book before, right? So ask the people who really know what's going on and connect the dots. Now, all of us, and this is another technique I have, write down 3 attributes that you have that you can bring to the table. Because for me, and I'll just say this straight out, like Sharon, you know that I bring probably three or four things that you don't bring, but I do, because I'm a different entity. I'm whatever it is, you know, my experience or my this or that or whatever it is. And you bring that 3 or 4 or 5 things. Well, you bring like 250,000 things more. But the point is, though, you want to bring those 3 or 4 major things and let those shine, because then the so-called famous people out there, you know how we put all these people on pedestals? Well, they turned out to be just regular people. They just do things a little quicker and better and more efficient and so forth, and with the right people.
So as we start bringing this podcast interview to a close,
What? I thought we were going 5 hours.
Yeah, something triggered in my mind, and I wanted to ask you this, because I think this, you know, somebody in the audience may be listening or thinking, you know, there's so many personal development seminars out there. I know that, how do you select, you know, because not a lot of people just take anyone that shows up, and you really are more careful about the people that you put on your stage. Talk about what you're looking for and what you don't want from a standpoint, because your stages are pretty tight as to what you want to offer the audience. So talk about that a little bit.
Correct. Thank you for saying that, and thank you for noticing. Yes. So what I do is I have kind of a mental checklist, and what I look for are certain things, and what I look for are things that are not that we don't want on my stage. So what I look for on the positives is somebody who's going to help. They're there for the audience members first and foremost. Second, they're there for your colleagues, meaning all the rest of, we have 33 speakers typically on at my conference. So all 30 speakers or 33, you want to be there for them. And then thirdly, you want to be there for, let's say myself, you know, and impressing us, I guess, at the event. But the way you impress the company, myself, is by impressing and helping and assisting the audience members first. So, and then the colleagues, and that's something that I'd like to talk about a little bit, but let me talk about the audience first. What I do is this, we have, as I said, 30 plus speakers. 95% of the speakers that are on my stage actually stay for all 3 days of the conference, which is kind of unheard of in our land, because, you know, people are busy, they come in, they fly out, they're always, they just want their little 1 hour and then they're gone. Well, we don't look for that. We look for people who are really going to be there for, to build the community. And that's, and I know you're, I actually learned that from you years ago, because I see you at events and you show up, you're the first one there. You're like Michael Jordan. You look just like Michael Jordan too. It's so crazy. So you're the first one there and you're the last one to leave, because you know that that's where all the connections happen. It's not just inside the seminar room, let's say, it's outside. It's having that cup of coffee or tea with somebody and really getting to know them. So I think that's really important. And then the other thing I was mentioning in regard to your co-speakers or colleagues, and it could be any industry really, it's really looking at helping others, because I think that there's too many egos in the world these days. And if you go in with helping other people, especially your colleagues, then they're going to look at you and help you as well. And it's what goes around. It's pretty amazing. So I look for that. And what I don't look for is somebody who's just going to come in and, you know, they're, somebody said something, what do they call it? I heard two techniques phrases, Rolodex something, Rolodex whore is what I heard. So somebody's looking for remember the Rolodexes back in the day where, so somebody's just looking for connections and they're not looking to connect with everyone, then that's somebody I don't really look for.
I like that. Looking for connections, not really looking to connect. I like that. That's good.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, what did I hear recently? I heard seminar butt. That's what I heard. A seminar butt. What's a seminar butt? Well, a seminar butt is somebody who goes to a seminar and sits there, and you're just sitting there and you're watching the speaker way over there on stage. They get shuffled in by the bodyguards and they get shuffled out and so forth. And you don't really get to connect with that speaker. And then you're sitting there all day long. So you have seminar butt at the end of the day. So what we do is very different, where we look for speakers that are, I mean, honestly, I'll just say it right here. Okay. And then just don't tell anyone, don't let this podcast go viral. So here's what you do. I'm just kidding. What I do is this, I look for speakers who are not just going to speak on stage, but actually speak everywhere around the community of our conference, so that now they're actually having conversations off stage that's really going to make a big difference. And that's what I look for. And that's what the difference is between like a regular event and maybe something of like ours and something hopefully other conferences are doing the same.
So Eric, if we potentially have people that want to become speakers, or people that are already speakers, or people that want to actually attend as an attendee, how can someone find you and find the list of your events?
Yeah. Oh, thanks for saying that. So they can go to habitudewarriorconference.com. So it's kind of a long, I don't know if I have it written down somewhere. Another easy way to do it is just go to awesomeswanson.com, and that'll bring you to a link, and it'll have all the different links of my social media pages, as well as our conference, obviously. But Habitude is habit and attitude put together. So it's Habitude, warriorconference.com. There you go.
And so as we close this out, share how you got the name Awesome.
Okay. So, well, wait, I got to tell you the intro first. You had mentioned we were going to talk about how I met you. Mm-hmm. Can I just tell you?
Of course.
So I got to tell you guys, look at me right now, right? Check this out. I was so scared of Sharon Lecter when I met her. I got to tell you, because she's so intimidating. I'm still scared of you, but I love you so much. No, I'm not scared of you. But the thing is, I was so intimidated, and I went up to Sharon and I said, oh my God, you're Sharon Lecter. And she goes, yes, I am. She's so polite, so nice. She goes, what's your name? And I said, my name's Eric Swanson. And I shook your hand. And then I got nervous and I ran away. I did that like three times. It was hilarious. But then I got to know you, and I'm like, oh my God, she's so nice. So Mr. Awesome. So I got a nickname called Mr. Awesome, and it's because Brian Tracy and Les Brown were seeing me speak on stage, and I was coming off a stage, and Les Brown turns to me and says, oh man, you're Mr. Awesome. That's what he called me when I came off the stage. I was like, oh, this is great. Now, when Les Brown calls you Mr. Awesome, you know what you do is you brand the heck out of that name. So that's how I got the name Mr. Awesome.
And you are very, very awesome. And, you know, there are a lot of people out there that are one way on stage and another way off stage. And you are a very generous spirit on and off stage. So you are Mr. Awesome wherever you are. So
thank
you so much for being with me. And we're going to actually in this podcast, and then we're going to do a short one that's going to be inside the private Facebook page. For all of you listening, please make sure you like us on iTunes. And if you're not signed up for our private Facebook page, Play Big Movement with Sharon Lecter, please do so you can hear the rest of the story with Eric Swanson. Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.